Just open in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just praise your glorious, your wonderful name. And we just thank you for this amazing word that you've given us, Lord. And it's all for you. So I just pray, Lord, that you take everything of me away. And that the words are yours, not mine, Lord. And in everything I say, it just glorifies your name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. It's funny when you're getting up to talk, and I've had this, the Lord gave me this when I was in America, in Florida, and it's only little things happened, and I'll keep that one, I'll use that, and it's amazing where you are. You know, I was sitting having my breakfast, and something happened, and I went, right, I'll use that, that'll do. I'm writing it down on the back of something, so I wouldn't forget it. So if you open your scripture to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 9 and 12, we're going to read. It's in between Matthew and Revelation, if you don't know what it is. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Just ask the Lord to bless that word as we listen. Thanks. I thought you wanted me to sing a song then. Yeah. Everything will fall out now. I'm not going to go through every part of it. I'm just going to pick a few pieces out. This is a very, very well-known scripture. You know, it just seems to be coming truer and truer. Every day now, you know, not every month or every year. It seems every time you put the telly on or you read the paper, there's more lawlessness going on. You know, it just gets to the point where it just breaks your heart every single day. You know, there's kids killing kids. There's people shooting each other. It's unbelievable. So when I was looking at it, just different words were popping out. It says the lawless one. So when I was looking at that, lawless means you're not governed by law. You're given a free run to do whatever you want. We know through history there's been many antichrists or types of the antichrist, you know, these crazy rulers. But the people who the Lord has used at certain times through the years, but the ultimate one is still to be shown to us. I believe, personally, I think we are the last generation. You know, I think we are so close. It's quite scary how close we are, you know. And that he's going to make his appearance very, very soon. Because when you read scripture and you look at what's going on around the world, you only have to do the dots up and you know it can't be that far away, you know. Or it can't, you know, you keep saying to the Lord, you know, how worse has it got to get before he comes back, you know, and you're praying and praying for the families that you've got that aren't saved, you know, because it is going to happen. The question that came to me when I was reading that was, will we see him, this Antichrist? You know, because some people believe we're not going to see him. It depends what part of the tribulation we believe in, or if it's pre, mid, or post. You know, some people believe we're going to go right through everything and see it. You know, some believe you go in the middle and people, you know, the scripture's for all of it, you know. So it's quite a scary situation, you know, and it also depends on are you truly born again as well. You know, not just because you're sitting in church or, you know, I believe in the pre-trib because of these scriptures or whatever. You know, if you're not truly born again, You're going to go through it all. You're going to see him. And that's the scary thing. And you're waiting for the rapture or we're waiting for death, whichever comes first, you know, to be with the Lord, if you truly know him. And we're going to be with him forever. But if not, the scripture says, you know, we're going to fall for the lies. You're going to fall for it, for the lies. In Revelation 13, it states three times that the whole earth are going to worship this Antichrist. You know, not just a few people in whatever country. The whole earth are going to come and worship him because of all these deceptions and these lies that he's going to produce. You know, you can see them now. Every time you turn the telly or television on, you can see the lie after lie after lie. But the what scares me with having teenage kids, and my daughter's nearly in her late 20s, they love technology. It's just everything about them is technology. I've never seen them sit down without the phone in the hand. And this is how they're getting through to the kids today. You know, you can't drive down the street without seeing kids. They're all stuck like that with their heads down all the time. They're walking out in front of you in the road, and then it's your fault because you've beeped them. You know, but it's you can see how he's going to get through. It's all through this technology. And it's quite a scary thing that we see, well, I see anyway, but what I believe is when you see so many Christians getting sucked into it as well, and it always comes back all the time, you know, are you truly born again? You're truly born again. You know, my friend died last week, and he'd been in church as long as I got, since I got born again. I don't know if he was saved or not, because he was in a certain church. They were going down the ecumenical road, they were gay vicars coming in, and wasn't seeming to faze him, you know, to the point where his wife left the church because of what was going on, and he wouldn't. So I'm like, wow, you know, so we don't know who's born again. You know, you could be sitting next to the same person for 30 years. Doesn't mean a thing. You know, it's only you that know that you're walking with the Lord. You know, only I'm the only one who's going to stand in front of the Lord for me. You know, and you're the only one who's going to stand in front of the Lord for you. And, you know, we pull the wool over the eyes of the people in the church, but, you know, the Lord's with you all the time. He sees every single thing we do and say. And I find that quite a scary thing, you know, that a lot of people, especially Christians anyway, there's no fear of the Lord anymore. You know, and that's what it comes down to. You know, you're doing all this and you're pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. There's no fear there. So to me, I'm thinking, well, do you really believe in the Lord? So if you did, you wouldn't be doing that. You know, I get to the point now where even if there's some, like I've said something that in the wrong tone to Joe or the kids, I'm feeling terrible about it. I've got to, oh Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm going to go and apologise, because there's when you're walking close with the Lord, you don't want to upset him in any way. And to see what's going on in society and to think, oh wow, you know, we've got to get with the Lord all the time, got to get closer and closer and closer. And when I was looking through this, it was like the workings of Satan. So I'm like, what does that mean? And when you look in John 8, he talks about his father. You're the father of lies. That's your father. So we know he's a liar. And right from the start, he's been a liar. He had the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You know, the things that are going on today. I don't usually get shocked much. But it was a bus that drove past me. I was going to Bev's, and a bus came past, and it was Bylife. What's that? And it's a new television show they're bringing on about bisexual people. Like a show where the like Blind Date used to be with Cilla Black, it was something like that. And I'm going, wow. And they're plugging this fantastic show, and it's on at the time when the kids are still up, and oh, wow, this is unbelievable. And it just seems to be the worse it is, the more society is sucking it in, and they're making it out to be greater. And when I looked up what lust actually meant, it was like it's an intense sexual desire. It's an overwhelming desire, or a craving that you've got to have it. You know, and I think, wow, these things that are going on is exactly what Satan wants. You know, he's spewing them out. And the more they take it, the more he's spewing it out. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 to 5, this is what the Lord was saying, Satan's true goal. Deuteronomy 13. One to five. So if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let's go after other gods which you've not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You should walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God. Just finish it there. And that's Satan's one aim, is to turn us away from the Lord. Especially when we're claiming that we're born again. You know, we're going in the streets, we're giving out tracts, we're talking to people, whatever it might be. He wants to trip us up. And not just to trip you up and say, oh, you know, you'll be all right. He wants to destroy us. Full stop. You know, I've known that firsthand over these last 3 years. He doesn't come in. It's not a little, like a cartoon with a fellow with a pitchfork, and he wants to destroy us because he doesn't want us preaching this gospel, this truth. And I've come up with a list of a few things about the devil and what he does. You know, he sinned against God right from the start. You know, 2 Peter 2. He was cast out of heaven in Luke 10. He was the author of the fall right from Genesis, right at the beginning. He's straight in. He wants to destroy God. He tempted Christ himself in the wilderness. You know, he perverts the scripture. You know, he knows this book back to front, and he knows how to say it in a way, you know, did God really say that? You know, and even when he was tempting Jesus, you know, he said, well, you know, the word says, throw yourself off and the angels will catch you. Trying to get him to tempt him all the time. He opposes God's work in Zechariah, hinders the gospel in Matthew and 2 Corinthians. He works lying wonders. That's what we're seeing now. These unbelievable lies that are going on. And he's the angel of light. And when I was reading this with the lying wonders, it was one of the scriptures that came up was in Exodus 7 and 8, where Moses went to see Pharaoh. And the Lord said, "Lob your cane down, it'll turn into a snake." But then Pharaoh got his magicians and they did exactly the same. So he's going to come as this angel of light. And this is what's going to trick a lot of people. So if we're not grounded in the word, and we're not looking at the signs that are going on around us, we're going to fall for this lie. You know, it's a scary one, but we've got to be in the Word. There's only one place we can be that'll help us, because I'll come to what Jesus did in a moment. He's the total opposite of God, and he twists and perverts everything that God's done. You know, God wants marriage between a man and a woman. Now you can marry anything. You know, some people marry trees and animals. It's just unbelievable what's going on. You know, he wants life. He's pushing abortion. You know, it's going to be like a drive-through one soon. You know, like McDonald's or something. It's going unbelievable the way it's going. And the danger for us is that we're just going to get used to it. You know, because the news is splashing out all the time. Oh, it's all right. It's only that. It's only another 900 people just being killed. You know, 900 people have just gone to eternity. You know, wow. It's some, you know, these people in America who've just been shot in Philadelphia. You know, is it ripping your soul that these people are getting killed and they've gone to eternity? Did they know the Lord? Were they messianic? We don't know. You know, so we've got to be so alert to what's going on, because Satan, as I said, he's so subtle. And he comes in a way. He did it to me in school, where I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing with the kids. But I didn't realise I was drifting away from the Lord, because he's subtly whispering in your ear until you hit them rocks. And when you hit them, wow, you know, you hit them hard. And as I say, it's taken a long time to get back to where I want to be. He's going to use these great signs and wonders. They're going to be amazing, you know, that we've never seen before. In Revelation 16, he's going to bring fire down from heaven in front of people. Yeah, wow. You know, imagine if you've seen that outside today, someone doing that. What are you going to do? You know, he's going to give life to this statue where the whole earth comes to worship, and he's going to make it speak and come alive. It's unbelievable. You know, we read it, but do we actually believe it? You know, that at some point in the future, there's going to be this fella on the earth who's going to say something, boom, flames are going to come down from heaven. No wonder the whole earth's going to be flat on the face in front of him. You know, because when you come into a presence like that, when I was in Ian's and Jill's and the Lord came into that room, there's only one place you need to be, and that's on the floor in front of the Lord. But he's going to come in with these lying wonders again. And then it said he's got all of this is going to be with unrighteous deception. And unrighteous, the Greek is, I have to spell it phonetically because I couldn't say it. It was adikia. It's not upright. It's not virtuous. It's wicked. It's sinful. It's evil. So it's everything that God is, this is against. Deception is a trick or a scheme to get what you want. So he's very, very good at that. You know, it's to get someone to believe it's true. Something's true that's false. So he's going to have this gift of the gab that everyone's going to love him. It's unbelievable what's coming. And this deception, it's of the unsaved, it says. You know, that they're going to fall for it instantly. That these people are going to go wherever he wants them and do whatever he wants them to do. And they're going to perish, it says, through this, like, Satan imposed blindness to the truth. It's, as we said in Revelation, the whole earth is going to fall for this, which is quite mind-blowing, really, when you think how many people are on the earth. You know, how many are truly born-again Christians who love the Lord? You know, when he's saying the whole earth is going to love him. He's going to be this charismatic person where everybody loves him, you know. So he's going to have to be something for the Jews and the Arabs to love him and come together. So it's amazing to see scripture come true every day, but it's quite scary. You know, if we're not right with the Lord, or we're still skating around the edges, you know, I'm still safe holding the barrier or something like that. You know, it's a time when we need to step out, leave that barrier and get right into the middle and start trusting the Lord for everything. You know, a lot of those songs we sang today, amazing songs. You know, we've given it all, we're saying we're giving it all, we're singing it, but I'll be doing it, you know. So it's quite scary. And the thing that says the deception was because they didn't receive the love of the truth. And when I looked at that phrase, the love of the truth, it actually means a hatred of Jesus, which is, wow, that's quite strong, that. And it's a hatred, and it's right through the scripture. You know, if you look in Luke and John, the more good Jesus did, the more they hated him. You're thinking, wow, he's just healed a woman who's been infirm for years and years, bent over for years, and they're wanting to kill him because he's done it on a Saturday. You're like, wow. But the more he did, the more they hated him. In the Old Testament, it says in Psalms that they hate him. They hate my word. They hate me. And he said that to us, you know, if they hate you, don't get a cob on. They've hated me first. You know, so they're going to hate you. You know, they killed me. You know, we don't do half the miracles or any of the miracles that he did. But they hated him. And the more he did it, the more he hated him. You know, and these very same people who were screaming, "Here's our Messiah," on what they say is Palm Sunday, a week later, they're all screaming, "Crucify him." You know, so did they really want Jesus for who Jesus was? Or because they thought he was going to be this big king? You know, they only wanted him because he was doing these amazing miracles. But when he actually said, "Well, okay, you need to follow me now," "Oh no, I don't want that. I don't want that." You know, and I think one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is where they said most of those disciples that were with them left them because they said this teaching's too hard. And you think, wow, you know, they've been walking with them, they're seeing this going on and on and on. And they walked away. And there was only the 12. It's scary. And I say it's always down to, do you love them? How much do you love them? You know, I've learned that over the years, that the closer I walk with the Lord, the dirtier I get inside, or I can see how dirty I am. You know, you've got it's like the light, the brighter it gets, you can see more dirt. You can say, oh, I didn't see that before. Like, get that. And I've always thought that, you know, you've got to be either for the Lord or not for the Lord. You know, he doesn't want anyone in the middle. It says that in Revelation. You know, sooner you were hot or cold, because I'm going to spew you out my mouth if you're in between. You know, so I'd sooner someone said, listen, I'm not born again. I'm not really born again. What can we do? Then we can deal with it then, rather than keep putting your hands up and singing, you know, all these amazing songs, and then you're not. It's not. You know in your heart when the Lord's there. You know you don't want to do anything that will upset him. And if you're doing something to upset someone in the church or your family or whatever, then that's upsetting the Lord, because the Lord's with us everywhere. You know, and we've got to love each other as he loves us. And I think, wow, if we really grasped hold of that one, you know, this place would be bouncing. If we really, you know, really, really love the Lord. And that's, I've used that with my walk with Jo. You know, she's not saved. They're all into Halloween, they're all into everything. You know, it's breaks your heart. My heart's ripped to pieces, you know, because they don't believe in anything. You know, we've had the conversations and they don't believe in anything. They say, well, I don't believe in God. I don't think there is a God. I don't think there's a devil or anything. It's just a bit of a laugh. I'm thinking, wow, how is this going to break? How is this heart going to change? And I know it's only when the Lord does it. There's nothing I can do. I've been praying for 27 years. You know, I've been loving her. But I found the one thing the Lord did do was he said, you just love her the way I love you. That's all you've got to do. And that's what it's got to be. You know, because if we don't love each other the way the Lord loves us, you know, how dare we stand up here and sing and say the Lord loves me when I've got something against someone in the church, or I've just said something not too good to me brother or my sister or whatever, or I've got that thing against that person. The Lord sees it. Again, comes back again to, do you fear the Lord? Do you really fear the Lord? If you did, you wouldn't be doing anything like that, because he knows everything. And it's this love for the Lord and the fear of the Lord that it seems to be coming over and over these last couple of years, since, you know, since I've been flat on my back on the couch and in the house. That's what he's been drumming in and drumming in and drumming in more and more. If you love me, love me. Don't say you love me, but then go and tell someone off or shout at them. You've got to have a full commitment for the Lord. It's like with your marriage. Your wife knows straight away if you're not all there, you know, you're not fully into. And they'll tell you straight away if you've done something wrong. So you can imagine what the Lord will do if, you know. So we've got to get ready. We've got to get the Lord back in our hearts. You know, that I lost my first love. I know that. I'm getting back to being there now. Getting the script open. I can't wait to open the scriptures when I get the chance. But again, you see Satan coming in again. He tries to stop that. Things are happening. Or, can you just give us a lift, Dad? Something like that. You know, anyone want to make a cup of tea, Dad? Like that. So little things that stop you. Yeah. They stop you getting into the Word, but it's getting those little times when you can just sit with the Lord and read his Word, because that's the only thing that's going to stop us falling for the lies of Satan, is knowing the scriptures, being in with the scriptures. And the scary thing then is that the Lord will say, right, he's going to get to a point where he goes, that's it. If that's what you want, you can have it. And you can have it as much as you want. You know, this strong delusion is going to come in. that they're going to believe the lies. And we've seen it right through history with Israel, with our own countries. You know, you get to a point where, okay, you're not listening to me, so there you go. Here's the Medes and the Persians coming in. They're going to take over. I'm going to use them to open your eyes. You know, and we've got to learn from history. We've got to keep going back and reading the Old Testament. You know, that's where the answers are in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus preached from. That's what the apostles quoted all, because that's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament, they had the Old Testament. And we've got to get back into it and see the way the Lord, and he's right the way through it. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, he's there right the way through when you look at it. And I think that the scary one then is near the end. It says they had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's when I look back, I loved it. I loved going out and getting drunk, you know, or smoking whatever was on offer. I loved it. I loved swearing. I loved swearing on a football pitch. It was, the more I could do it, the better it was. When I was talking to my cousin, when I'd been saved, and I was talking, we seemed to be working for a while, so I was talking to him about the Lord and that. And he said, I can't stop sinning. I said, well, you can. I said, the Lord will help you. He said, I love sinning now. That's the great thing about it. And that's what they do. They love what they're doing. They love the life that's going on at the moment. You know, you walk through town over night time and it's absolutely bouncing. Every pub is bursting, so they're out onto the streets. You know, and half the churches are getting shut down. So Satan's getting, and you know, down by ours in South Road in Waterloo, when I was out drinking around there was only about 5 pubs. Now there's about 15. There's every other shop is a wine bar or a restaurant or a pub, so it's crazy. And they're opening up everywhere, and now they're open all the time. So you don't have to go home at 11. You can when my kids go out with the mates, they don't go out at 11 o'clock. You know, wow. You know, and then it's open all night then. It's unbelievable the way he's sucking everything in. You know, this is the life you need. This is the life you want. And then when you look to the church, the so-called church, they're going along with it. You know, Joe showed me something last night, the big Anglican cathedral in town. They had a massive laser show inside the cathedral for Cream concerts. Now that used to be a massive concert in Liverpool for the raves in the 80s and 90s. And they were doing, with live orchestra, a reenactment of these raves. Lasers going all over the shop, but they'll all be praying to the Lord this morning. It's unbelievable what's going on. You know, Satan must be laughing and laughing his head off. And this breaks God's heart. When you see all this, you know, he doesn't want this to happen. He doesn't want to give them over to what they want. You know, you read, if you look at Ezekiel 18, please, that's after Daniel. Before Daniel, I'll give you a bit more of a clue there. Ezekiel 18, and we're looking at verse 23, please. And the Lord says, you know, do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? He says, the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live. And if you go over to verse 32, it says, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So he doesn't want that, you know, because he created us in his image. He loves us. Oops. That's out. And that's, you think that's, it's breaking the Lord's heart, then what's it doing for us? Is it breaking our heart? You know, that we see this going on. And if it isn't, then we need to start getting back into the scriptures, getting back into the Lord on our knees and asking him for one of them hearts, you know, the heart for him, the heart for the people. It's unbelievable. When you, as I said before, you know, you look at the news and you see when there's like a storm or a tsunami or an earthquake, and it just comes up, 3,000 people have just been killed, and that's it. It goes on to the football, and you think, wow, 3,000 people have just gone into eternity. You know, how many have gone with the Lord? It's unbelievable. And he doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, when you look at all these lies of Satan, it really came to me when I was in Florida. As I said before, it's amazing the way the Lord uses anything to get your attention or to say something to you. And it's whether you're ready or not to listen. And Disneyland anyway, it's an amazing place, you know, if you're into all that. And it's even better if you're into the fast rides, which I am, yeah. I've got one hand in the air at the moment, not both of them, so. Being from like a building background, I like to look at how things are made. Wherever I'm going, I'm looking at the architecture, and, oh, wow, look at that. You know, they've made that without any machines, if it's an old one. And you're looking at everything in this Disney World, and it's absolutely perfect, everything about it. It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. Even smells amazing when you're walking down. I'm sure they have machines that just waft cake smells out to you. So it's just this perfect place. You think, oh, this was heaven. This is it. You know, it's perfect. They have these amazing characters dancing around everywhere. You know, they've got music coming out of bushes. And I'm looking further, and there's like a speaker sunk into the soil with like false leaves over it. So you can hear this music, so it just guides you around everywhere. The food is unbelievable. Everything is catered for that you want. Everything you can dream of, you know. And this is this satanic lie that's going to happen in the world. You know, he's saying, you know, follow me. Everything's perfect with me. But then when you actually look at Disneyland, it's all false. You know, even down to the screws in the bin, they're perfectly painted and they're all the right way. Not one grain is the wrong way. All the leaves are perfect. They look real until you actually go and touch them, you know. And I was watching, I'd got up early one morning where we were staying, and we had to go across a bridge to go and get a cup of tea, which is horrible in America. So don't get tea in America. That's why I have to drink coffee. And as I'm walking over, I think it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, they're painting the bridge. These fellas, they've got these huge floodlights on, they're painting the bridge so it looks perfect in the morning when everyone gets up. And I'm thinking, wow, it's so false. But it looks fantastic when you're there. You know, as I said, they cater for everything. And the falseness of it, It's when you actually see some of these buildings getting built. You know, when you see them finished, you think, wow, unbelievable, how have they built that? And then when you see them when they're getting started, it's just a quick steel frame, mesh around it, and it's all fiberglass, and then they paint it, and these artists come in and do every... You can't fault, you know, the details they put into it. But again, it's all false. And it's only the kids in us that see it, that believe in it, you know. And there was one lad, and this is what really got me thinking. A little Chinese lad he was, a little couple, Chinese couple. He was only about probably three, and they were sitting in this restaurant. We were having our breakfast, waiting for Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck to come out and dance around the tables, and Joe had to keep holding my hands, stop me jumping up with them. So, I'm sitting, I was facing the little lad, and he's eating his porridge or whatever he had. And his mum went like that. And he's looking at his mum, and she went like that. And as he turned around, there's Donald Duck and Daisy Duck coming towards his table. And he just froze, like this. He was petrified, and then he went... And it's like, you could see it, like, click in, and he went, "It's Donald Duck!" She went, "Yeah, it's Donald Duck." And he flew over to Donald Duck, and he was hugging him, and he was made up, and he was crying his eyes out. And I thought, wow, we like that with the Lord. You know, this child really believes that this is Donald Duck, who he sees in his books or on the film, the cartoons. And he was so excited. You know, he's bouncing up and down, he's jumping, he's grabbing him, and then he wouldn't let him go, and Donald Duck's saying, "You gotta get off now," like that. Crazy sight when you're sitting there. But I'm thinking, wow, are we that hungry for the Lord? Do we really believe the Lord that much that we get that excited, you know, when we open the Bible Or is it, oh, I can open the Bible today, okay, half an hour or something like that, I'll be all right. Knock that off the list for us, Lord. We've got to have that total belief in the Lord, the way the kid, and that's why the Lord said it, but, you know, if you don't come to me like a child, and you think, well, it took me ages to understand that passage, and then when you've got your own kids, you realise what it means. You know, when Zoe was a baby, she was in the high chair, and she seen me coming in with the breakfast and a bottle of milk. I have never seen a baby bounce so fast. She was, her eyes were popping out of her head. She was nearly falling over the chair because she could see it. She wanted it. She was so excited. And it was, you know, do we desire the milk of the word? That's what it says in Scripture. You know, are we like that for the Lord? Do we desire him that much that we're like exploding with excitement because we want to be there? Or is it, oh, Sunday, better get up. Yeah. I'll show everyone I'm all right. I'll put my Christian face on before I come out the door, and that's it. I'll take it off when I go back home. When you're looking at, you know, it's quite a bleak past when you think of Satan's been going right from Genesis, and the future is Satan's going to come do all this in the future. But Christ has defeated them. That's the great thing. And a few pointers that are pulled out. You know, back in Genesis, Christ was predicted right from when the fall happened that he's going to come and defeat Satan. You know, right from that start. The Lord resisted temptation. When Satan was attacking him, he resisted him. The Lord cast out the evil spirits that he put in people just with his word. He gave his disciples the empowerment to do that as well. You know, he destroys the works of Satan. And ultimately, his triumph is completed by his death and his resurrection. You know, he's shattered Satan's hopes. So all he's got now is, well, I'm going down, so I'm going to take as many with me as I can. You know, that's the great, I think that's one of his victories, is that he's taken as many with him as he can, because he knows he's defeated. When Jesus resisted him, it was the word that he used. He used the word. He's, you know, he said, well, you know, do this. Scripture says do that. Jesus said, no, you don't do that. Where it's written, it's written, it's written. You've got to know the scriptures. When people are asking you questions, you've got to know the scriptures. And the scriptures are there, you know, right through the Old Testament. They predict Christ. They were predicting he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. You know, but no one's listening. No one's listening. They're designed to make you alive, Psalm 119. They're designed to produce faith, John 20. They build up your faith in Acts 20. And the scripture's there to grow in grace, 1 Peter 2. And in 2 Timothy it says, you know, all scripture is God ordained. You know, it's there for everything we need. It's there. But we've got to get into it. You know, it's no use saying to someone, there's £1 million over there. It's yours. You can have it. No worries whatsoever. Okay, but you've got to go and get it first. You know, everything you need's in the Bible. But you've got to pick it up and you've got to open it. You know, we've got to do something as well. It's not just the Lord. Oh, the Lord said, yeah, the Bible will help me. Okay. Go and get it then. You know, don't sit there. Don't wait for him to come and give it to you. Go and get it. Like we said the other week, you know, you listen and we pray, then we've got to act. We've got to do it as well. You know, so as believers then, you know, if we truly are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what can we do? Or what will happen to us? I'll split this one into two little bits. The first one for the saints is, this is going to happen to us. When you're truly born again, we're going to be afflicted in Job 1. But it's only what God allows us to go through. You know, sometimes it feels very hard what we're going through. But the Lord's allowed it. And he gives you the strength to get through it. You don't think you're going to get through it, but he does. Each day he gives that little bit more strength. Each day you're getting stronger. You're standing up a bit more taller because he's there with you. We're going to get tempted. It says in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to get tempted. But again, like the Lord was tempted, we've got to know the word. got to read that word, and that's what's going to help us. In Luke 22, we're going to be sifted. Jesus said to Peter, you know, Satan's asked to sift you. But when you've come through it, you know, love the brethren. So Satan's always there. You read right through Job, he goes and stands before the Lord. You know, what about this person? What about that person? Yeah, they're all right being a Christian, but, you know, you take that car away from them, or you take the bank account away from them, how are they going to be then? It's hard. It's very hard, especially when the things you've relied on and you need to live get taken away from you. That's when you know you're trusting in the Lord, you know. So, and it works. Believe me, it works. So what should we do? It says in James, we should resist the devil and he'll flee. We've got to be armed, ready for him. Get the armor of God on. We've got to be watchful. Corinthians and 1 Peter, we've got to be watchful. We should be overcomers. Get on our knees, pray, overcome what's going on. Give it to the Lord, as we've heard today in 1 John. And we'll triumph over it in Romans 16. But we'll only triumph over it in Christ, not on our own. You know, on our own, without Christ, we're going to fall for the lie. We're going to believe it, hook, line, and sinker. But in Christ, we have the triumph, because he's already defeated Satan. And it's getting that desire in your heart that I want that. I want that in my heart. I want that in my life. So if we do go, we know exactly where we're going to be with the Lord. Those people who've gone before us, the people we love so much, we know where they are. You know, it's still tragic and sad, but we know where they are. We know that we're going to see them whenever it is. And that when we do see them, they're going to be perfect. You know, they're going to be standing waiting for us, saying, oh, come on, you've got to be here. Come and see this. Come and see this mansion we've got, you know. Look, my knee's not sore anymore, and I'm dancing. And you know, Judy said she's going to have me a race when we get to heaven, because all our knees will be all right. So I don't know. I might let you win, though, Jude. So. And again, it just said, you know, how do we achieve all of this? We've got to read the Word. We've got to get into the Word. We've got to know that we're truly, truly born again. excuse me. Read the Word, the precious Word. Then we've got to meditate on the Word. Imitate Christ. You know, that's the big one for me. For having a wife who's unsaved, I just got to love and love and love and love and love. And the more you love, the more you get to love them. We've got to copy Christ's examples. Read Scripture again. If you don't know what they are, read the Scriptures. It'll show you. Pray to him. You've got to pray to him continually. Act on his precious word. Somebody's reading it. We've got to act on it as well. Be ready in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope and the belief we have in Jesus. You know, because that's the big question that comes. Well, why do you believe in Jesus? What's our answer? Because, you know, sometimes you can stumble on that one. It's a simple question. Why do you believe in Jesus? We've got to be ready with that answer. We've got to be ready with that power in our heart, because we love him. Because he died for us, because he died for you on the cross. And he's coming back again for his people. You know, are you going to be one of them people he's coming back for? Because there's only one other place that you're going to end up in. And as I'm coming to the end of it, if you turn to 2 Corinthians 13, please. I hope you get nice knees when you're in heaven. You're just very pain. 2 Corinthians 13. And verse 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So it's quite a strong statement. You know, test yourself, examine yourself, that you are in the faith. You know, that when we do meet him, he's not going to say, I didn't know you. But I played the piano for 35 years in the church. Yeah. I took the collection for 84 years, whatever it might be. I give tracks out. It doesn't matter. It's going through the motions sometimes. It's churchy. It doesn't want that. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him 100%. And that's why when you come to that scripture there, when I, that one really hit me over these last couple of years, and we've got to have that increase every single day with the Lord, getting closer and closer. Again, I always think when you're married, it's a bit of a mirror of the Lord, you know, because you love that person. The more you're with them, the more you love them. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, that you'd die for them. You know, when Joe was sick, I would have took her place instantly if I could. But because you have this love, you don't know where it comes from. You know, can you explain really what love is to someone? It's very, very hard. You just know that this love is there for this person or for these kids that you've got. That you know, instantly when your baby's born, you would die for this child. You've only just met them like 30 seconds ago. And yeah, there's this love, and that's the love the Lord has for us. That he died for us on the cross. He loved us so much, you know. And you think back what we were like, what I was like, and think, oh, wow, must be some God to love me. The streets I used to crawl around. And then I'll just leave you with these questions as we finish. Do we truly love God? Truly, truly love God. Have we truly repented? Have we really given it all to the Lord and said, that's it, I don't want the world anymore? Are we separated from the world? Are we separating ourselves from the world? Or are we still hanging on? Oh, that program's on in half an hour, I need to watch that, you know, or I've got to go and do this, I've got to go round the pub and see me, whatever it might be. Are we hanging on to the world, or is it gone? We don't need the world. Are we growing spiritually? If we know the Lord and we trust him, we need to start growing spiritually then. Are we spirit-filled? Do we want to be spirit-filled? You know, I knew that I couldn't go on with the Lord unless it happened. It got to that point where I thought, well, I don't want it. If this is all it is, I don't want it. Because there's got to be more. If this is all it is, then I'd sooner just go and start playing footy again or something. There's got to be more, and there is more. The Lord wants to give you everything that he's got, but it's got to be done in a right heart. You've got to be right with your brethren. You've got to be right with your wife or your husband. You've got to be right with your kids, and you've got to be right with the Lord. He knows what's in your heart, you know, and you can pray and pray and pray for the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, as much as you want, but if you're not right with the Lord, it's not going to go through to you at all. So you've got to, and I say, when we were in Ian's and Jill's, that was, I've been in some prayer meetings, but that was some prayer meeting, that one. I think, I don't know, it was about 2 hours, I think we were praying, weren't we? And then we just, because I'm that type of person, I don't just do it to make everyone feel happy. You know, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And it was just when we were coming to the end, bang, I was on the floor, and that presence of the Lord comes in, and that cleansing power of the Lord comes in. It's just, there's nothing else you want when that's happening. And that, you know that Spirit that he's given you, because you've come to him with a true heart, with a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Do we hunger for God's word? Do we want to read God's word? Do we want to pick the Bible up? Or do we just now and again, oh, I'll get it on Wednesday, it's prayer meeting on Wednesday, or I'll get it on Sunday. Or the rest of the week, it's just stuck in the cupboard. This is it. This is life. This is the answer to everything. And this is the answer to eternity as well. And then, if we are truly born again, are we living that transformed life? Do people see that in us? Do people see the Lord in us? Or do they still see Billy from 1986? Yeah. I'm glad you didn't know me in 1986, I tell you. Yeah. It's having that transformed life. So the one thing I leave with you is you've got to act on it. We can all get up and preach at the front, so we can open the Bible to you, give you these amazing scriptures, but it's what you do with it now. If the Lord speaks and you've got to act on it, you know, do you want the Lord? Do you really, really want the Lord? Then we've got to act on it, you know. And if you do really want him, things will happen, you know. Rough times will come, really rough times will come, but he's there with you. He gives you that strength to keep going. So I'd say we can sit next to each other for years, but do we really know the person next to us? Are they truly born again? Only you and the Lord knows that. You know, so my plea always is, if you don't know him, or if you think you know him and you don't know him truly, don't walk out today without knowing him. You know, because the one thing we do know is that we're all going to die sometime. And I don't want anyone in here to get up there and he goes, I didn't know you. Who are you? How tragic would that be when you stand before the Lord and he goes, I didn't know you. Rather than, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's what waits you over there. Yeah. Amen. Amen.